Welcome to KPMG Texas Trend Talks, where we deliver fresh insights on major business issues. At KPMG, our people make the difference every day, so we hope you find today's podcast valuable. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Texas Trend Talks podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Harris. I'm a director in KPMG's energy advisory practice. Today, we're exploring the enduring role of natural gas, the continued importance of emissions transparency, and how digital tools are transforming the way we measure environmental impact and monitor operations. Joining me today are two fantastic leaders in this space, Mark Jebbia, Vice President for Environmental and Permitting at Williams, and Michael Matthews, Vice President of Customer Experience at Context Labs. Gentlemen, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you very much, Brooke.
So I thought let's kick things off here with the big picture. Natural gas and LNG are playing a critical role in the global energy transition and also meeting growing energy demand here at home. On a global level, North America was the largest producer of natural gas in 2024 at 31% and is expected to remain a leading global supplier due to the growth in LNG export capacity. Natural gas accounted for 38% of total U.S. energy production in 2024 and is the predominant fuel for power generation here at home. Mark, can you talk about why it's so important for companies like KPMG and Context Labs to support gas producers in measuring and reporting emissions progress?
Yeah, sure thing, Brooke. That production of natural gas has been just a phenomenal thing in the United States. And natural gas has been the single most powerful tool the United States has had for reducing our economy-wide greenhouse gas emissions. We lead the world in greenhouse gas emission reductions. And natural gas being affordable, cleaner burning than other fossil fuels, and abundant in the United States has just been a powerful tool to get us there. But in order to maintain that role and the reliability of it is going to be a key and critical component into a fuel source of the future. To maintain that, we really need to understand where methane emissions are coming from, get a line of sight to that from operators so we can go do something about it. The role of our partnership with Context Labs and KPMG is an essential step in that of really being able to create a line of sight, some context around our information, and some trust that we have internally, but then also that we can share externally and how we're doing.
Yeah, thanks so much for your insight, Mark. You know, I'm sure our listeners are keen to hear how companies like Williams are addressing the dual challenge of ensuring reliable energy supply while also tackling emissions. Mike, let's talk about measuring emissions at the source. You've worked closely on emissions measurement. What are the biggest challenges in capturing emissions data at the source? And how does having trusted data improve operational decisions?
You know, the general state of the industry is that this really is impossible, right? It's too difficult. It's too big of a hill to climb to get down to the source level and the measured emissions. But we're doing it today with Williams and with other customers. So it is definitely possible. And it's delivering commercial value, operational value, as well as helping with, compliance reporting. With the Williams team, we helped them deliver, their OGMP 2024 report for level four. We proved that we could do it, but yes, there were some challenges with that. And I'd say it comes all the way down to the data or back to the data. Williams, very large company, very complex, big scale, lots of volumes of data. And so I would say, our biggest challenges were around data integrity, the availability of data, and then the management of change. So once you get all of that information into the platform, you need to be able to adapt to change. The operations are not static. Things go into service and out of service. New assets get added. Things may drop, and you just don't have those particular data sources. Our focus in working with Williams and what the platform is able to do is to work with those data challenges and essentially acknowledge the reality of what the world is and the state of operations. And don't let perfection become the enemy of success. And so working very closely with the team and what our data platform does, we've got a very normalized representation of, the assets in the Williams fleet. And we're able to ingest that against our standard, our normalized representation of those assets. and then bounce back and reflect back to Williams based on the requirements for the emissions calculations. We look at that and they say, okay, based on these calculations we're working towards, here's all of the data required, both the asset data, or what we call the metadata that represents all of the pieces of equipment inside the Williams asset base, and then all of the activity-based data, the operational data of that equipment. By reflecting that back to Williams saying, this is the specific data sources that are required in order to produce the calculations, we were able to zero in on where the gaps, the conflicts, the issues with the data, and then systematically began to remove those and address them and get the data integrity up to a level where we could actually produce the report. And so there's the technology component of that that enabled us to be able to do that. There was that acknowledgement of the reality. Hey, you know, the data is what it is. Let's go to where that is and do our best to address it. And then I think probably the most important thing, and Mark would agree with this, was just the, you know, the teamwork. It wasn't, you know, customer and supplier. It was really a single team working together to address those data issues to get to the goal of being able to produce all of the calculations required for the 2024 report. I would say those are the biggest challenges. And then how that really helps with the operational decisions is now that we've got this trusted data and it's at a very granular level, it's at that emission source level, and it's based on measurement, it really drives, and Mark can talk to this, is operational insights in terms of being able to do the trade-offs with operations and maintenance and looking at emissions performance. And it also gives them what I would say is really commercial alignment based on that. So they can now take emissions intensity or carbon intensity of the product that they're moving through their system and align that with commercial opportunities that they're pursuing. And then lastly, because we've got this high quality data, you can start getting towards, you know, the blue sky stuff of Industry 5.0, where you can begin to leverage that data, incorporate AI, start running simulations and evaluating different scenarios and optimizing your operations across those often conflicting priorities of, you know, operational, commercial, and the compliance reporting.
Thanks for breaking that down, Mike. I think it sounds like identifying is the sources of data is the first challenge, and then capturing the data across something as complex as the natural gas value chain is a big challenge, but Context Labs and Williams seem to have cracked the code, which is really encouraging for the industry. Mark, maybe you can talk a little bit more about the importance of trust in the emissions data. You know, why is it so critical to move beyond assumptions and track emissions at the facility level?
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of talk about that from two different points of view as far as the audience that we're thinking about trusting the data. And I think the most important one, and it builds upon what Mike just said around the operational insights, trust in our emissions data starts with our frontline operations people. And I know that that's contrary to a lot of kind of the normal talking around greenhouse gas inventories and methane intensity, but really what we're doing here is we're evolving how a reporting program and an inventory of emissions happens. Historically, you know, we were totaling up a lot of operational information and throughputs and operating hours once a year. We were reporting it by March 31st of the following year. The process itself, it was very disconnected from the real life of a frontline operations person. And so when we started on this pathway, one of our first objectives was let's make our emissions data operational. Let's make sure our frontline team can see what decisions are being made in our day-to-day operations. Because, you know, we do acknowledge that we operate infrastructure that when it was installed, most of which was in the 50s and 60s, was actually designed from a safety perspective to leak and vent methane. And now we're really trying to understand what are the plumbing issues we need to solve to undo that and to keep that natural gas in the pipeline from the wellhead to the burner tip. And so the work we've done to really get down to an equipment level, incorporating measurement in these emissions estimates, and really starting to understand with the data platform from Context how different operational considerations are influencing that emissions number. So that really is a evolution beyond the concept of here's an emission factor, that is an emission rate per hour of operating in a certain mode. and then here's the hours I operate in that mode, and now you get an emission number. We're really kind of getting into what are the things that are impacting that, and how do we better understand it, and then make it, in a temporal context, making it closer to when the actions are occurring, so there's a feedback loop. So I think that's a very powerful part of this platform that we tend to, it's a very internal focused part of it, so we don't talk about it externally that often. But when we talk about how this is helping us to decarbonize, that is really critical. And then the other part of it is external trust in our information and data. I've been involved in some form of greenhouse gas reporting in the natural gas industry since 2012. The sheer amount of data we are generating today compared to 2011, 2012, I mean, it is just a massive change. So I think a lot of times when we say transparency and trust in emissions, I don't think anyone actually wants all of this data. It is unbelievable. Mike, I think it took a few years into our relationship before I realized, oh, the name Context Labs is perfect. We're actually putting all of this data in its appropriate context so that you can leverage transparency externally, which then brings trust in the information. And then another key part of our relationship was making what we're doing available in the public domain through open source code. It was a really important principle when we started our relationship, was we want to be able to really engage much broader groupthink and how we can get better at this. At the end of the day, no one really has all the answers. We're all trying to figure this out as we move forward, and understanding what parts of the information we can share on emissions is helpful, what's not, helps to continuously refine this process. So I think to kind of bring that together, we do feel, as a company, we feel a pretty strong responsibility to help set and demonstrate a course of action that can be followed. You know, we, through our entire infrastructure, we touch about 30% or a little more of the natural gas that's produced in the United States. And through that, we just have a unique footprint to be able to really demonstrate how this can be done on evolving how emissions reporting has occurred and can occur as we move forward.
Thanks for taking us through that, Mark. I think the big learning for me, and I think for our audience, is likely that the data that Williams has been capturing and working with Context Labs on kind of contextualizing, as you mentioned, it's essential not for only emissions reporting, but making those informed kind of operational decisions and driving change. And that could even unlock value in the process. Mike, I want to kind of come back over to you and let's dive into technology. How is technology evolving to rise the challenges we've discussed? You've mentioned the use of digital twins for emissions tracking. I think some of our listeners might be wondering, what exactly is a digital twin, and how does it help with things like reporting or even the day-to-day operations that Mark was just talking about?
Yeah, that's another really good question, and it picks up exactly what Mark was talking about. And so in thinking about this question, I'd like to approach it from essentially the operations or the field inside Williams and what their view of that, what do they see? Beginning with that, the digital twin is effectively a digital representation of the, frame it in the context of the Williams asset network, right? So it's the pipelines, right? And from the gathering systems, gathering and boosting, to the transmission lines and compressor stations and gas processing facilities. And so the digital twin is a representation of that, essentially that physical footprint of all of the stations and the sites that operate across the Williams facilities. And so if you kind of visualize that, and we're able to show the full pipeline, all of the compressor stations within that pipeline, so that's a representation of the physical footprint. But then we incorporate into that the activity or operational data that shows essentially the emissions intensity across that network and how that intensity differs from site to site, location to location. And so that gets reflected in that user interface. And so when we talk about a digital twin, that's what we're discussing, is the digital representation of the physical assets itself, but also I would say the emissions performance of those assets. And so you can see that emissions intensity visually from that user interface, and then drill down into it. And I would say, you know, this is a vision that we've all had. If, you know, I'm an engineer by background. This has been talked about forever, but now it's coming to, you know, to actually be real. So you can look at the overall pipeline network. You can see all the sites. You can see the equipment. But now you're able to also see the emissions performance and where that intensity varies across the network. And that's fine to look at it at an enterprise level, but with the contextual data that Mark talked about, you're able to drive down to the emission source level and actually understand what's behind that representation of the emissions. And so we call that within Context Labs is asset-grade data. It delivers the operational value that Mark talked about, but it also has tremendous commercial value as well as the compliance value. And so by going to measurement-based calculations, we're down at the emission source, so the most granular level. We're actually below a piece of equipment. So there may be three or four emission sources, let's say, on our compressor. And we're getting down to the measurement at those source levels and then being able to follow the tracing that, we call it the provenance of that data, all the way back into the calculation, and then the calculation being performed. That level of granularity and being able to go down to that component level enables the flexibility that Mark talked about, both from an operations perspective as well as from a commercials perspective, because now you can go in and you can begin to group those emission sources across your asset base, and you could, let's say, draw a pathway to deliver gas from this point to this point and look at all the components that make up the carbon intensity of that delivery. Or you could say, I want to look consistently across all of these types of compressors with this make and model and look at their emissions performance across across the enterprise and balance that against the operating performance. And so you can begin to develop operational insights that you wouldn't normally be able to have. When we talk about the digital twin and the twinning of the assets, that's what we mean. Describing it from what, let's say, a user experiences, and you come into the DAS platform and that first screen you look at, you can start with that, essentially a map of the network, look at it going across the different states, see all of the gathering systems, look at a particular facility that may have higher than normal emissions intensity, and you can drill down into that and see that. And you can see is that emissions intensity because maybe some equipment was taken out of service, or maybe the devices dropped, maybe for that particular time frame, it's calculated based on an engineered factor for that specific piece of equipment because the measurement device is not available, or it is actually from the measurement device. So we give the provenance of the data all the way down to that point, as well as the calculation method that was used to calculate the emissions. We make that possible really through three steps, and Mark sort of alluded to this, is that data integration activity and identifying, and you talked about this as well, Brooke, identifying the sources of emissions, getting that reflected, and then ingesting that operational data. And then it's that transformation of the data using the calculation methodology to produce the outputs. We see the outputs, or we present them really, we call it visualization, but it's the dashboards that the operations team may use. And because we're getting data from those sensors in 5-minute increments, you can zero in on a very specific event and get to that operational data and do the synchronization between them. That can be accumulated into certificates for commercial purposes and attaching to contracts to demonstrate carbon intensity of the product. Or it could be rolled up and put into calculations or outputs that go into compliance reports, whether it's for the EPA or some voluntary compliance like OGMP.
Well, it certainly does sound like an engineer's dream, like you said, Mike. Data on operations.
Yeah, it comes down to the data, like I said in the previous question. But yeah, everyone wants that beautiful vision and be able to drill down. But if you don't have all that data and have it lined up and being able to source it and follow that traceability, you lose a lot of the value. And so I think the two teams working together and with that normalization of that construct that I talked about in the previous question really enabled us to zoom in and address the data gaps and conflicts, get those resolved in a reasonably short period of time. And I would say, Mark, what over the last year, we've onboarded about 350 facilities, over 10,000 pieces of equipment, and we're looking to double that this coming year across all of the asset base. So it's not like it's possible. No, we're actually doing it, and it's been done and proven.
Yeah, when I use a stat like how much of the nation's natural gas we handle, that sounds impressive. When you start reminding me how many individual pieces of equipment we've onboarded, it's just phenomenal.
Well, I'm sure so many of our listeners are really learning for the first time the sheer complexity of the natural gas value chain in the country. And as we talked about at the beginning, what a pivotal part the U.S. natural gas supply system plays, not only in our energy security here at home, but abroad as well. So, Mike, you mentioned kind of the potential to use this data to present the carbon intensity of products, even in commercial agreements. You know, let's switch gears to looking at the market. You know, Mark, how are buyers and regulators responding to this level of emissions transparency? Is this granular data, in addition to kind of giving insight into operations, efficiency, and potential room for improvement, is it giving you all more flexibility on how you bring your gas to market?
It is. I would say that a little bit of this is you build it and they will come. So we started down this pathway more in the realization that more granular accounting of our emissions is the only way we're going to really drive the emissions out of our system. Yeah, the traditional emissions inventories were really, really based around just give us a feel for the activity within these emission factors to understand overall, like, is our emissions going up or are they going down? And I don't remember the last study count I saw, but somewhere around 1,000 studies had been published on what the real rate of methane emissions are across natural gas infrastructure. So it is a complicated issue. And I feel like it, up until we really started putting the potential for a financial piece on emissions, it's really just been what's the minimum amount of effort it takes to report an inventory. What we're really starting to see is a realization that this is the type of pathway you need to go down if you truly want to develop policies or markets or penalties around emissions. I do think we're starting to see a pretty broad understanding in the markets around the need for this. And that, I think Mike put it earlier very well, it's not that hard. It's a complicated infrastructure. The amount of pieces of equipment throughout the United States, especially oil and gas production, is pretty complex. But we have already developed systems to pretty well track purchasing of natural gas multiple times in a day across the same area of infrastructure. What we're really getting towards is how do you begin to bring forward the environmental attribute to that gas purchase so that someone understands what the actual intensity of the million BTU of gas is that they just purchased. And it's that connection that I think is going to begin to draw some power here from market acceptance, regulatory acceptance. There's been a lot of work in the term of certified natural gas and trying to see a premium for that. And you know, there is some of that still going on. But I think what we're talking about is really what's the accounting platform that you're understanding these emissions on? Because the next step is how do you then reduce those emissions? Or maybe, you know, like we're looking at projects where there's kind of insetting, where we have areas of our equipment and enterprise where, you know, there's some opportunities to reduce emissions. It may not be a pathway where we have a next-gen gas kind of commercial opportunity. If it's pure voluntary and additive emission reductions, there's opportunities with the robust ledger system like we have here to be able to reduce emissions in one area, offset it on a different pathway. And you really begin to start now seeing when that has some value to it, it begins to provide the market mechanism that really helps drive emission reductions across the full scope of infrastructure. So I think that's kind of for me a global view on where the market could go and the demand for this. I think right now it's as we see local utilities and states and international markets have a desire for understanding what are from the point of combustion within these areas, what are the upstream emissions associated with the natural gas that we're importing into our, and then fill in the blank on what that jurisdiction is. The more accurate it is, the more meaningful it is from policy decisions and from mitigation and everything along those lines. So I think it's been a really exciting time to see this and kind of really, really interested to see where the world does go in the next 1 to 2 to 3 years.
Mike, I know Context Labs was recently at the EU methane regulation workshop in Paris. Do you kind of, is what Mark just kind of talked about, did you see some of that reflected in those discussions over in Europe?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing that across the board. I mean, we're obviously a software provider in the space, and essentially we're a carbon accounting platform, and it really brings to mind what Mark was talking about when he mentioned, the carbon accounting ledger. And that's sort of the mental model that I apply to what we're doing, as well as stepping back and sort of looking at where the industry is as a whole. And think back to financial controls and what happened after the big market crash in the late 20s, early 30s, and the recovery from that and the founding of the Security and Exchange Commission, right? Can you believe the financial data that's being presented by these companies? And we're sort of in the same place with carbon accounting. Can you believe the emissions data, the carbon data that companies are reporting out to the markets? Mark and I are completely aligned on that. That's where the value is. And so we're seeing that demand, not just from the customers, but as you said, the meeting we attended back in Paris, Williams was there, EQT was there, another one of our customers, Jonah, was there. Their regulations are exactly what Mark described. They're driving for it needs to be measured-based emissions at the source, and being able to follow that and have the proofing of the emissions intensity of the product that are coming into their jurisdiction. And so I think what Williams said very clearly at that session, as well as Jonah and EQT, is that it's not only possible, we're doing it today. And so there was quite a bit of, there's also, a secondary message out there around, the trust and claiming what we're doing is too difficult. You don't need to do that. There are other methods that aren't as burdensome, but there's a lot of value with what we're doing. And I think there's recognition of that in terms of companies, at least in our space, are beginning to see that this is something that they want to do, not that they have to do to meet some compliance requirement. And so, as Mark said, we're not just seeing this from the regulatory side, let's say, in the European Union. We're also seeing it in the Asia markets, particularly in Japan and Korea, as well as the Middle East. Also from, the producers across the oil and gas value chain, both up, mid, and downstream, we're seeing got very strong leads going into the LNG sector, as Mark mentioned, but in the Middle East, the NOCs there see this as a global competitive advantage, and they're going after this hard. And it's not for compliance reasons. They're going after, for commercial drivers. I would summarize it, if I'm in Williams' seat and others, is that are looking at it as a want versus a have to do this, it really gives them commercial flexibility because they can now begin to match the carbon intensity of their product or service, to the market conditions and the commercial opportunities that they have. And then, just like Mark described, by having that more granular data and understanding the sources, they can get to, source level mitigation and optimal emissions performance through more strategic approach. It can be very deliberate and programmatic about it. One of the things that we really take pride in is because of that source data and the provenance of that data, it's what I would call high quality data. It's 3A, 4A rated data. You can believe and trust in the data that's being brought through. That becomes a very strong platform to train AI, to start driving simulation and optimization models across the company, where you're trying to balance between commercial, operational, and compliance requirements. And so I think that in and of itself gives companies like Williams and upstream operators, as well as downstream, much more flexibility with their resources and to take advantage and really demonstrate that they're different in the market, right? They have a real sustainable differentiation. That's all in addition to, because you have this data and you're able to automate that, the burden on the organization and the cycle times for mandatory reporting, compliance reporting, and the administrative burden associated with that goes down as well. But from what we're seeing, that's almost a secondary benefit. The big one is the driver for what Mark described. We're looking at, gives them commercial flexibility, establishes their brand in the market as really differentiated, and is something that is sustainable for them.
Well, I want to thank you, Mike, for speaking to the hearts of my colleagues at KPMG talking about accounting ledgers. I know that's going to get a lot of folks excited as they think about this. Well, this has been really such a great discussion, guys. You know, I think it's, if I were to summarize our conversation in the world of capturing data around the operations and the performance of the natural gas value chain as specific to our conversation, it's all about identifying the right data, analyzing it in the right context, and then sharing it with the interested parties with confidence. And that's what kind of the three of our respective firms have been able to do together. And I think that it sounds like the implications for what you can do with that data is they're so broad and vast that you both talked about. And I'm really excited about that potential. And I want to thank you both for breaking all this down for me and for our listeners in a way that makes this really real and relatable. And I just want to thank our listeners. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time with more insights from the front lines of energy innovation. Be sure to find Texas Trend Talks on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or under kpmgus.com/insights.
Thank you for listening to the KPMG Texas Trend Talks podcast. To stay updated on the latest trends from industry leaders, be sure to subscribe to the series or follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.